Natural Solutions with Dr. J, your source for time-tested and cutting-edge natural medicine approaches to optimize your health, with your host, Dr. J. Sordian.
So, this is Natural Solutions with Dr. J, and I'm so excited today to have Phil Quinn here.
Yes, thank you, Dr. J, for having me.
And so we have known each other for years and years and years.
Yes, for many different stages. From the time, you know, I was a young buck to the time I had quite some hair. And now I'm at the stage where my hair is departed ways.
I know. I was going, wait, is this Philip?
Yep, I've grown quite a tremendous amount over the years. A lot of that has to do with just personal development and reading the right type of books and implementing different things into my regimen in terms of just food and habits.
Right. So it's quite interesting. I know I've known your dad for years and years and years.
Sure.
And I know when Anthony was growing up, his dad also had all these self-development books and stuff that Anthony liked to devour. And so was that part of the influence? Did he like suggest that you read those, or you just like discovered them on your own?
Some of that was there for me, but I was a little rebellious being a middle child and went through some bumps and bruises and didn't quite listen as much when I was younger.
As
I got older, I was grateful to have those experiences because it helped me develop more on a personal level. Mm-hmm. Other people who I've seen have been so structured when they were younger, they somewhat fell apart as they got older because they've been accustomed to everything kind of being in line for them.
Ah.
So they're unable to have a structure of their own that they can implement themselves.
Interesting. So the rebelliousness that you had earlier on and then eventually led to your creating a little more structure for yourself that really suited you.
Exactly.
And so you feel like, is that like the kind of plan that you would suggest most people have? Or do you think some kids really need to be like bolted down or something? Or
I would say that it would be a virtuous idea to believe that everybody would be capable of that, but some people are stronger than others and need additional support. So it's very important to know where you stand and how thick your skin is and how much you can withstand just going through life experiences.
Wow.
Because, you know, what doesn't break you can certainly make you.
Right. That's a good point. So that's so interesting. I know that I knew you were in sports too.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Was that like a positive thing for you?
Absolutely. It helped create an additional avenue for me to exert a certain amount of frustration and energy in a direction where it was positive. And you have to get that out of your system, especially as a young man.
Yeah.
Especially as a young man that could be mischievous if those type of activities are not in place for you. You know, I mean, if you're someone who is very studious and you're just zoned in and focused in on maybe like going, you know, the text route and reading a lot of different texts and studying and disciplining that way, that's good. But if you're a little rough around the edges or a little bit of a knucklehead, that can serve as a good thing for you to have in place.
So which were you?
I was somewhat, you know, moderate, somewhere in the middle. I wasn't completely on the far end of the being like a knucklehead, but I wasn't like the most studious either. I mean, I used to read the dictionary a lot when I was younger. So
you read the dictionary?
Yes.
Can you quote me some like quotes out of the dictionary?
Not quotes per se, mostly just definitions. I used to be curious a lot when I was a kid. I would come across certain words and I wouldn't know what they meant. And I know I probably pestered my mom and my dad to death by asking them, you know, what words meant. And they're like, well, why don't you just go look it up?
Yeah,
so I did.
That's great. They said, have you ever heard the word dictionary? That's fantastic. I know education is really a big part of everything that your parents stand for and that you do and all too. And so, so you did sports. Which sports were you doing?
Football, and I ran track. Track, I really like to run. I still run from time to time, even though these knees are getting old. These legs are getting old, but it helps stay in shape, and you're able to feel alive. You know, you sweat, and that, you know, kind of gives you the feeling of being vibrant.
Yeah, I know that in healthcare, exercise is very important. You're a great example of that. Both exercise and self-esteem and self-worth, working on that whole aspect, having some discipline, also, and even words are very important in health. It's amazing. studying words and really understanding words, because it helps stimulate a variety of different areas of the brain and keeps that alive. And if we don't have balance between like a mathematical side and the more social side, then behaviorally there can be all kinds of things that occur as well. Like some aspects of autism and things may be considered that one side of the brain got overdeveloped compared to the other. And so it's so predominant that social skills are lost because one side isn't developed enough, the other, the mathematical side or whatever, became so overdominant that being able to focus on something is like a real component of how that person behaves, but then they miss a lot of other cues, social cues.
And I see that sometimes you see people who are very intelligent but very socially awkward, and mm-hmm. they might have a hard time maybe talking to a young lady that they like. Because as a result, you know, they really want to express themselves, uh-huh. but they haven't developed in that way, and they feel socially awkward in doing so.
So you are working in the insurance industry.
Yes, sir.
And which particularly, you do both life and medical.
Yes.
And so, but you also have done comedy.
Yes, sir.
Right. So, one of the things I was thinking is that, like, obviously, and when, you know, one of the primary focuses of this podcast is natural medicine.
Sure.
And medicine. So definitely insurance is a big component of healthcare.
Absolutely. You know? Absolutely.
It's like so integrated. And so people really have to understand healthcare and insurance and how it works in order to use it to the degree that they can to get as much of their health care covered as possible. But then they also have to pay out of pocket because it doesn't cover everything, right? But also laughter.
Oh, yeah.
Is a big component of being healthy.
If I remember right, there was a gentleman, it was a seminar I listened to, and he referenced a book by Dr. Norman Cousins called The Anatomy of an Illness, in which the gentleman was very sick, and his therapy or method of treatment was laughter, because it stimulates your body in a way and produces what it makes more alkaline, correct?
It may make it more alkaline. I know that it certainly helps.
Okay.
And being more alkaline, if you're too acidic, typically that's a reflection of chemical toxicity in the body. And so if that's going on, like we often measure people's saliva and to see what the pH is as a basic screening to see if there's a toxicity in the body. Stress, trauma, and toxicity are three. Like probably 85% of all illness and health conditions are due to that. I mean, there can be car accidents, you know, that's definitely trauma. But chemical toxicity can be reflected in the pH of the saliva. And so you want a pH that's closer to 7 or so, as far as the saliva goes, in order, and that would be a reflection that there is less chemical toxicity in the body, maybe the body's dealing with it.
Can also a manifestation of that be a lot of stress and different trauma that's harbored in the body, and it manifests itself into maybe more of an acidic pH reading in someone's blood?
Yeah. Very good point, thank you. So actually measuring pH is a great factor in better understanding a person's health. And that's not something that most mainstream doctors do. I mean, they, you know, there's pH testing in urine. And the blood also often, in the blood chemistry, there may be a pH factor that's listed in there too.
Sure.
But straight off, I mean, usually they aren't doing salivary pH, for example, as a good screening thing. So tell me, the Health Care Reform Act occurred when? 3-4 years ago? When was that?
About late 2013, early 2014.
Okay, and we're in 2016 now.
Yes.
So what kind of changes have you noted? Because you've been doing health insurance for how long? Like
Just about the time.
Oh, since then? Uh-huh.
Yeah, I started toward the tail end of the old system, uh-huh. right before health care reform came right. into effect. So I saw the changes pretty instantaneously.
Right.
And I noticed that it was beneficial to many people in terms of those being and having limited means by which to pay for insurance.
That's right.
But it also affected people who might have had the money to or the means to pay for it, but were affected by maybe some of the rates and network changes with doctors and services they were in need of, which is a significant thing to consider.
Yeah. So, I mean, one of the things that I'm from Indiana, and a number of people in Indiana are maybe more conservative than people are out in California. And So there, you know, when I spoke to some people in Indiana, they were a little bit concerned about the, you know, the quote unquote Obamacare or whatever. And maybe just, you know, because it's, oh, well, President Obama, whatever, you know, knee jerk reaction, which is stupid. But the, they were concerned about that. But like some of my family members actually had some serious illnesses and they couldn't actually get insurance at all before that healthcare went in. And so they're grateful. It's like finally they can get insurance that they could actually somewhat afford because then either they had cancer or this and that.
And then them
and
having
they couldn't
a pre-existing
condition, like eliminating that was like a godsend for so many people. And a lot of people don't realize that that was really a very key factor in that change in healthcare.
Well, one thing that needs to be considered by a lot of people when looking at changes and things that are coming into effect is there is no utopia. I mean, we have these ideals in our mind, but you get something and then something, you know, it's kind of give or take, right? That's how it works in this society. So you have to be realistic and then work with the best of what you have,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to just complaining about what's not there. And then working with someone where I step in is assisting people to try to take the stress off of them, which can lead to them having to go to the doctor even more.
Exactly. That makes sense. Yeah. The insurance industry, I mean, here at this office, there's a lot of insurances that may cover acupuncture, but they have certain amounts that they pay or not pay, or it's for certain diagnoses, not for others. It's very complicated. So actually having someone who knows something about the what's going on to take that load off you really, like yourself, you know, reduces the stress of people. That's why they're paying brokers and stuff to take care of things, because they know what's going on.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I could only imagine, you know, being quote unquote a layman in regard to, you know, medical insurance and trying to figure it out and navigate through the system myself. It'd be like a mouse running through a labyrinth.
Ooh. Good analogy. No, you're sharp. That's great. So, no, you work with in a family.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And so you have all these different lines of insurance and things that you work in a coordinated fashion with different members of your family.
Yes.
So if people wanted to get in touch with you, what would be the kind of things? I mean, obviously they could how would they get in touch with you?
Well, they can stop by our office, which is on 1035 San Pablo Avenue in Albany, California.
Right. And this is going nationally or internationally, so they can still stop in, right? They could fly in on their jet in the open.
Well, the best way would be to call the office. That would be the first option, which is 510-528-2700. Call, talk to us, and then see how we can better assist you with your needs insurance-wise.
Right. And so as far as certain insurances, they're limited to, like, California.
Yes.
But others, is there some other insurances, like life insurance and stuff, you can do anywhere in the country?
Well, it varies, but we are licensed in other states as well. All
right.
I can't per se recall all the states off the top of my head, but we do have access to different markets in different states as well.
Okay. So that's good. But people should definitely try to get someone who really provides the kind of service as you do.
Yes.
And support for insurance because, I mean, it's so complicated.
It is.
To understand.
And one thing that I take pride in, I'm not so focused on money. I'm focused on putting in the work and trying to help people and then getting the satisfaction as a result of doing so. Because I know that will pay dividends. And in the long term, you know, I'll reap the benefits of that as opposed to just focusing on the money.
That's
because
right.
If you focus on the money solely, you're going to compromise your integrity. And then once that's gone, what
that
you have left?
Yeah. Yeah. So providing service and there's a lot of heartfelt love that goes into that, too, that you and all your family members have. It's just like it's one of the great things about you, your family and you. You're just like amazing people. So you also have various besides work.
Sure.
I mean, I know work is almost 24/7 for you, but in those 3 seconds outside of work, do you have hobbies and other things that you're doing, like comedy, or you have a podcast or something too? Or?
Well, on work, I had a platform some time ago where I would talk about different, you know, current events and political issues and put a comedic spin on
it, which I'm
getting back into.
Uh-huh.
I do stand-up comedy from time to time. Not as frequent as I was before, but getting back into that as well.
Why do you do that?
It's fun, and I get to kind of be more loose, you know, and just speak my mind. with no filter. You know, of course, I try to put some social commentary into my work as well, and be more mindful of what I'm saying as opposed to just gratuitous, you know, nonsense. Sometimes people might just try to get brownie points by using a lot of expletives, which I might throw in there if it's relevant, but I don't try to overdo that.
So
oh, and spending time with my girlfriend, of course. I don't want to not mention that again.
No, you also do dating advice?
Sometimes. I talk to a lot of young guys who are in my area, in my city, and in my neighborhood, who I come in contact with, and they tell me their struggles and ups and downs and dealing with the dating scene. And I try to give them the best advice. And the best advice I can give to them is be authentic and screen the people who you're dealing with. I liken it to musical genres, you know. For different people and different personality types, it's like different genres of music. You know, you have the soft rock, you have the more like upbeat rock, you have the hardcore, heavy metal, you have like the contemporary rap, the socially conscious rap, and you have the hardcore stuff. So people fit within different types of categories. And if you can attribute a musical genre to someone's persona, it can help you better pre-screen people who you're dealing with and kind of figure out what category they fit into and if that will work for you.
Wow. That's interesting. That's really interesting. I know I spent a lot of time doing things with bank code, which is like a four level personality thing. And I'm going to be doing some more consulting and stuff. I'm going to be certified in that. But actually understanding how people communicate and figuring that out can help me be more malleable and communicate the way they want to be communicated with. So what musical style are you?
I would say I'm more like mature or contemporary hip hop, you know, with maybe a little bit of classical in there and some soul, you know, kind of all mixed together. Because as I've been told, I have many character traits of someone much older than myself. You know, I'm 31 years old, but a lot of people, even my girlfriend included, you know, they'll say, you remind me of somebody that's 50, you know, because I'll say certain things and just have a mindset of someone who is more conservative. You know, oh, you're going to have a drink? No, I think I just want some, you know, grape juice or something. You're not going to drink any, you know. So having that type of perspective and dealing with things in a certain way, and also the way that I dress on a regular basis, whether I'm working or not, you know, people kind of look at me like, you know, you act like an old man, you know. So which can be a good and a bad thing, you know.
Let me see your palms. Yeah. Okay, maybe. Well, you know, I mean, when I was traveling in Asia and stuff, I traveled for a couple of years. After I lived in Japan for 3 years, I traveled through different parts of Asia and stuff, and I was reading all the time and just hanging out. I was on a budget of like $3 a day.
Wow.
That was for food, shelter, and clothing.
Wow.
Transportation a little extra. This was like, you know, 40 years ago.
Sure.
But so one of the books was on palmistry. And so I started reading it, and then I would just like look at people's hands. I said, that's brilliant. And they go, what? But so there are lines here, and you have a very M line. So this is the heart, the lifeline, the headline, and this is this career line. And so you have a very clear M shape there, which means that there's this balance in all these different areas. There's sort of like this straightforward balance, sort of like a river that's going straight ahead. It kind of knows where it's going instead of meandering around all over the place. Would you say that's kind of how you are? I mean,
I've kind of grown into it. You know, I try to balance my life out. It's not an easy thing to do, but it's certainly something that's a worthy endeavor.
Yeah, yeah. And so, what music genre is your girlfriend, if I might ask?
I would say like neo soul, classic oldies, and maybe like a little bit of orchestra.
So that's a good blend with yours.
Because it's real calm, contemporary, you know, conservative. I mean, a little liberal, not too much, but you know, very very mature. You know, and years ahead of our time, I would probably say.
That's so fascinating. No.
Because she's very old-fashioned. I always tell her she's old-fashioned, you know, and I guess I'm considered old-fashioned, too. I mean, the way I dress, a lot of stuff that I do, you know, it's really old-fashioned.
So have you actually created, like, a course or a training program using this model of music in order to match people up?
That that's a good idea. I have not gone
about. I know. I've never heard of this before. It's like
just
so
don't pat me before me.
No, the listening audience might say, you got to get on it pretty quickly. You know, the millions of people listening to this podcast, there's going to be someone out there who's going, oh, damn, that's a good idea. Oh, gee, that's a very good idea. So so if they wanted to hear any of your past commentary and stuff, is still like available for people to?
Yes. My videos and a lot of the stuff that I've recorded in the past is archived. It's on YouTube, A Word with PQ. I even have some new stuff.
A Word with PQ, and yes. That stands for Philip Quinn.
Exactly. So I even have some stand-up I've done recently from April that I uploaded. I put together another platform and currently working on that. But one thing I want to do, too, is reach back and give good advice to people who are young. Maybe they're having some issues and don't really have a good understanding of the world or anybody that they can relate to that they can confide in terms of, you know, I can talk to him because I can relate to him. I can see myself in this person. So just trying to help reach back and provide them with some type of structure or some good ideas and things that they can benefit from by taking, you know, the information and running with.
So this would be someone who would like listen to the things you've already done and get some advice that way, or they can just call you at any time of the day and for your advice?
Well, you know, I'm working, you know, as far as the hobbies and stuff I do outside of work, I'm working on some literature. It's going to take me a while to develop it. And then I'm thinking about putting a course to go with it, implementing my story and the stuff that I've gone through, as well as people I'm close to or I've been close to over the years. And then putting that in the context of a literature to where it can make more young people gravitate to, you know, reading more, being more well-read and getting positive reinforcement or reinforcing messages within the text of the book.
What's the point of that?
The point of that would be because of the way the media is and a lot of the entertainment, it's a lot of gratuitous violence and a lot of the wrong information. So there needs to be something to counteract that to help people strive to build themselves up or to look in a certain direction or gravitate in a certain direction by way of getting information and then looking to different sources to further empower themselves.
Oh, that's great. Yeah. You know, we're in this election cycle right now. I'm working on a book I'm going to issue pretty soon called Code Blue in the White House. How's it going? What presidents sell to voters to win. And so it has a lot to do with like the psychology of speeches and that kind of thing, the psychology of the brain. And one of the things that I hear more and more, even in mainstream media, is that they're talking about how people will start out a speech scaring someone. And you scare them because, and this is used in sales too, you scare them because the deepest part of a person's brain, their survival brain, is fear-based. And it's looking at it's going, okay, I'm alert. I'm paying attention now because something's scary. I got to watch out because I could die or something, right?
Sure.
And so this is the first thing that's in. And there are certain candidates. Donald Trump is like a master at this.
Oh, yeah.
So you start.
And he's in business.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And so you scare the bejesus out of somebody first. And it doesn't take very long for their brain to like go, what's going on, what's going on? And then you start saying some other things that build on top of that. But you use this fear factor. No, many people, and this is a lot of trainings I've studied, that this fear is, after that, then you come in with some positives. But our brain is constantly looking for all these negatives first. It like, every time you spot a negative, it puts like a little trophy in your trophy room. Ah, you spotted it, good job. But it's all this negative. So what you're doing, what you're talking about, is actually creating this counterbalance. This positive stuff in the brain so people actually can like feel positive about things and act in a positive way instead of coming from fear and from like no. There was someone was talking about how if you think of a child growing up, and as a parent, our job is to protect them. Hopefully. You want to protect them so they survive. And also you want to nurture them so that they have the skill set to like be great. So, but there's a lot of times you go, no, don't do that. No, no, no. There's so many no's. And that's like this negative thing. So we respond more quickly to a no. is it's so deep in our psychology compared to yeses. So what you're doing with your literature and that whole thing and working with the positives, I think it's a really, really good thing for people's psychology overall and for a society in general and for world peace, et cetera. So I applaud you a great deal in that whole endeavor.
Well, I certainly appreciate it. And it's interesting you bring that up. There's a quote by a gentleman named George Frazier, and he was talking about people don't necessarily change when you point out the things that they need to correct. They change when they get upset, when they get angry, you know, like, oh, I'm tired of this, and then they take action.
Mm-hmm.
So that was an interesting point that he made, and it kind of resonated with me. I'm like, you know what, that's a good point, because someone might give you all the positive reinforcement in the world, which is intentionally what I'm trying to
right.
do, but also have some information or some details in there that also might want to get somebody to make a change because it can anger them a little
bit,
in a positive way.
Yeah, it riles them up a little bit, and emotions can be a big motivating factor if it can be channeled in a way that's going to benefit that person.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So you're going to have a next stand-up comedy somewhere? You just do it on yourself, or you're doing it in clubs?
Well, I do a lot of open mics, and what I'm trying.
Wow, I didn't know that. Yeah. Well, I think I vaguely remember that, but yeah.
Yeah, what I'm trying to do now is kind of develop my own thing, and my goal is to be independent, because then you have creative control. You don't have to go with the party line, and you don't have to compromise who you are or sell yourself short by being a brand that you essentially aren't branding. You know, someone else is pulling the strings behind the scenes.
And does that happen?
All the time. I mean, a lot of people won't ever acknowledge it because maybe the money's good.
Yeah.
But, you know, then they start to grow, and then they see kind of how what they're being told to do and the type of person they're being told to be in terms of to keep the entertainment value high. It might have a negative impact, and they don't necessarily want to be that person, but the money's good.
Yeah.
You know, and then they want to break out of their contract, but they don't understand the law and have lawyers to review everything, then it becomes a big problem.
They don't have that specialty expertise, and you have to rely on, just like we need to and want to rely on people who understand insurance.
Exactly.
Yeah. So in the next 5 to 10 years, where do you see yourself?
Hopefully, you know, with the family, you know, a nice home, pretty decent life, still helping people and just giving back in any way I can, and always trying to get better, you know, improve on my health. I figure in the next 5 to 10 years, I might go vegan. I feel like you have made it essentially, not by the amount of money you make, because sometimes that can be a burden, right? You know, you have more taxes, you have all these different things you have to worry about. I feel like I will have made it once the biggest worry or concern of my life or my day is whether or not the food I'm consuming is gluten-free.
Wow, that's very interesting, because you're sensitive to gluten.
No, it's just that if that's the biggest stressful thing in my life, then that's a great life.
Yeah,
right?
Oh yeah, exactly. That's great. So there's this guy, what's his name, JP or JD or Sears? Ever seen any of
this? I've heard.
And he is hyperbolic in his comedy, and he has this segment on being gluten-free. And he's actually gluten-free himself. But he has this character he's created that just, like, makes fun of meditation, makes fun of everything. It's just so hilarious. My girlfriend introduced me to him, and he is, like, hilarious.
Some people think they can just meditate until they levitate. I mean, I wish I could.
Well, Philip, it is so great having you here as part of the program today.
Absolutely.
And so I will be sure that people have the information. It'll be on our video. This is a videotaped also. Hopefully it's working. And it's also a podcast, so people will have the opportunity both to watch and to hear. And so if you are driving, don't watch. Listen. But if you're in one of these new cars, the ones that are self-driving, maybe people are going to be listening to these podcasts for years in advance.
I don't know if I trust that. What if it gets a virus or malfunction, and then all of a sudden, you know.
That's true.
Be careful out there, people.
Be careful. You know. Be careful of those newfangled devices. The
technology might not always be your friend.
That is Philip Quinn, the conservative musical note, with his final advice. Thanks so much for listening.
Thank you. Have a good one. And thanks for having me.
My great pleasure. Always.
To buy your copy of Superbrain, maximize your brain health for a better life, go to superbrain-thebook.com. That's superbrain-thebook.com. Information can also be found on naturalsolutionswithdrj.com.